Heavenly Father, we truly want to thank you for your presence. You are glorious. We want to thank you for the good news, Lord, that Christ has come, that you are with us, dear Lord, that you are God and you have overcome all things. We pray that we will be mindful of your presence, of your greatness, of what you've achieved, Lord, through your coming. Open our hearts, dear Lord. We just pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to fall in this place, to fill our hearts, dear Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've titled the sermon, "Today Come Thou Long Expected Jesus," after the song. And what I'd like to share is about the people, the characters in the Bible during the coming of Jesus. And last week, we got to look into Elizabeth's life and the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. And I just want to look at some of the other people involved in the Christmas story to just learn something about them and how God moved through their lives. You find that after the prophetic days, there was a silence and a lot of things that happened between the Old Testament and the New Testament. But during the time of Jesus, as you've all heard, that Israel was occupied by the Romans. They were ruled by the Herods, and he was not a good king. He was quite a mean, horrible king, okay? And we also realize, when we looked at the book of Matthew, by judging the interactions between Jesus and the Pharisees and Sadducees, we do realize that the religious leaders put a heavy burden on the people themselves and were not actually ministering to the people. So it was a difficult time to live. There was a lot of challenges as a nation. And you find that, we all are very familiar about Israel being a unique nation before God simply because God made a covenant with her. And, and many times people be thinking, when will God renew this covenant? What will it be like? And if we think about, being in such a situation, we do realize it's so easy to be tempted to just give in to the situation and do whatever it takes to survive. And perhaps, not really remember the promises of God and God's special calling on a nation and God's promise of a Savior, of a Messiah. And so that whole idea perhaps could have been lost to many individuals, or perhaps they would have remembered it and not really, expected anything to happen. And, being in such a place is something that we too experience. But God moved and God spoke to certain individuals who did not give in to that temptation. Rather, their hearts were still open to the promises of God, that God is a covenantal God, that God has remembered Israel and he will send a deliverer. And you find that these people that whom, were mentioned in the Christmas story in the book of Luke were unique that way, okay? They did not abandon all things. They were very sensitive to God simply because God was keeping his people even during such a difficult time. Even through, the rule of the Romans and even being under occupation and facing persecution or facing the problem that there was no good shepherds, their hearts were devoted to God and they knew God's presence was in their life. And so we'll just see how that looked like during that time. Of course, the couple that we heard about last week is Zechariah and Elizabeth. And it says, in the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and both were advanced in years. So in that one verse, we do get a glimpse of the kind of people this couple were. When you look at the way the Pharisees are, they have abandoned a lot of what was important to be priests and leaders, spiritual leaders of the people. But not so discoupled. In spite of the way things were, you know, they had encountered God in such a way that within their hearts, they sought to live according to His word, according to His commandments, and do what was right before Him. Okay? And that's powerful. And I think if you look throughout Christian history, and especially if you read stories about persecution, you all have to realize that when you are pushed to the edge, when you are persecuted, even if you think about the conditions you have to face in the marketplace, in the workplace, and so forth, sometimes it's so easy to abandon, you know, the whole need to be mindful of God and walk according to His commands. But not so for these people, simply because, you know, no matter what the circumstances were, God was still their God, and they were aware of His presence in their life. And so that's how, you know, God was working through the people who know Him and held on to His promise. The second person was Simeon, okay? And this is an interesting individual. Okay, I'll just read the entire portion of Simeon's appearance. You know, when they took Jesus and Mary went to the temple to be consecrated. So after giving birth, you know, after 7 days, it was part of the purification law for her to go and receive consecration in the temple. Okay. And so if you have your Bibles, you just look at Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 32. Okay. Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 32. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer sacrifices in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves and two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light of revelation to the Gentiles." Okay. And it's kind of amazing that during that time, you know, this person, Simeon, same like Zechariah, he was devout towards God. Okay. You know, and he was looking to God. And what's very unique about Simeon is, you know, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon but did not indwell people until the Pentecost, okay? But for him, the presence of the Holy Spirit was with him, you know, for him to know what was happening. And he was looking to God for the consolation of Israel, okay, for the Messiah. So think about it, you know. Let's even think about us, you know. Are we that kind of people that in those moments we are looking to God, you know, for His work, you know, for His salvation, for His deliverance? You know, are we open, you know, to Him in such a way that our hearts are filled with the Holy Spirit, that we can recognize what God is doing in our midst? Okay? So it's like that, you know, for every other ordinary person coming to the temple, that child would be like, you know, any other child. Okay? They would see the baby and walk past and so forth. But not so for the people of God. Not so for Simeon, all right? He was filled in the Spirit in such a way, you know, that the Holy Spirit directed him to go to the temple that very moment so that he may meet the child. And he began to speak about the role of this child and his, you know, being a Jew, and his understanding of deliverance was so expansive, you know, that it was not only for the people of Israel, but a light of revelation for the Gentile community. And such was the revelation in the life of Simeon, who sought God at that moment. The next person is Anna, okay? And another person who met Jesus at the temple, okay? And it was said, and there was a prophetess Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, okay? And this is what it says about her. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Okay. And again, another person who was devout, who fasted and prayed, who was seeking God, who was worshiping God at the temple. And there were such people, all right? Men, women, young, old, people who were given themselves to God in spite of a very difficult circumstance. And they were open to the things of God in such a way that God began to reveal to them specifically, you know, that this child would be the Messiah. And they went and told, you know, Joseph and Mary, you know, these encouraging words and began to speak into the life of the parents how great this child will be and what this child will do. Okay. And finally, the shepherds, okay, another group of people. You find that in Israel, the shepherds were people that were looked down upon, okay? Simply because of the nature of their job, you know, they could not go and worship as other people did because of the way, you know, they had to handle the animals and they did not meet the requirements of the purification laws. So they were like considered a less spiritual people. But more than that, they were considered people who were good at, lying, you know, doing a con job. Because, you know, when shepherds sit down and talk, they say, what's yours is mine, you know. And they're trying to say, you know, no, that's my sheep. No, that's mine. And they were known for, you know, just sticking sheep for themselves. So they were not allowed in the court to give testimony, okay? Such was their reputation. All right. And yet, not all shepherds are the same. We shouldn't make that kind of mistake. And these shepherds were, you know, out in the field, but their hearts were open. And they were waiting and longing for the salvation of Israel. And it's kind of amazing how the Lord would reach out to them and send angels, you know, to announce the good news. The scripture says, you know, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. And then after the shepherds, you know, they returned and glorifying and praising God for all the things they have heard and seen, which were just had they had been told. Okay, and they became the first witnesses and they heralded the good news about Jesus Christ. And so you can see the moment they heard it, with haste they went, you know, to seek out the child that was promised by God. And they were filled with joy and they began to share that good news to everyone. So such were the shepherds. All right. And you find that throughout history, you know, the reality is God is good and God pours out his favor to all people. Some recognize it, some don't. Some take shelter beneath it, some do not. You know, and you find what's unique about these people that were mentioned. These people understood God's providence and they understand God's covenant. Okay? And in spite of everything that is happening, they believe that there's one Lord, there's one God who's sovereign above all things. If you look at the definition of providence, okay? Providence is normally defined in Christian theology as the unceasing activity of the Creator, whereby in overflowing bounty and goodwill, He upholds His creatures in order existence, guides and governs all events, circumstances, and free acts of angels and men, and directs everything its appointed goal for His own glory. So it's an amazing view, understanding of this world that, you know, everything that happens in Spain, even there's a king who is mean, and even there is a nation that is advancing and conquering people and acting in cruelty. God can work His purposes, His good in all things. Nothing, you know, can undermine the sovereignty of God, the greatness of God. And so, you know, you can see in the Bible and especially in the lives of people that no matter what happens, God is God. He is their Lord. He is in control of the situation. You know, He's watching over them and He has made a covenant with them and His covenant is true. And what they have heard in the Old Testament and all the promises of the Messiah, it will come to be. And their hearts were devout to God, you know, righteous before Him in the sense of, you know, seeking to do what is right before God and given totally to God. And such were the people. And I think what is what I would like for you all to think through is where we are, you know, in this story. You know, what's the umbrella we stand beneath? You know, what's our understanding of God's activity in our lives? Simply because it's so easy to just get into the normal race of life to forget that God, you know, is doing an amazing work of salvation, bringing people to His side. So I would just like to point out a few things in God's interactions with these people and how they understood God. You know, one important thing is that God would keep His word. Okay? All right, and you can see several verses from Elsbert and others, you know. For no word from God will ever fail, you know. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered, may your word to me be fulfilled. And blessed is she who believed that the Lord would fulfill His promises to her. Okay? And then the shepherds came back and they said, you know, they have heard and seen which were just as they were had been told. Okay? And Simeon said, sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. God's promises are true to them. Okay? Whatever God speaks in their life, whatever God reveals in the word is a reality for them. God fulfills His word and they discover God in such a way. You know, and that's how God deals with such people. That no matter what Herod says, what, you know, the Romans say, God's word is true and that's what that dictates their part. The second thing about what they realize about God is God intrudes their space. Okay? You find that Zechariah, I mean, he is a priest. He's worshiping at the temple. And then the angel comes and tells, you know, that your prayer has been heard and will be answered and you and your wife will have a child. Okay? And Zechariah answers the angel, you know, how can I be sure of this? I am old, okay, and my wife is well along in years. No, so let's think about it. You know, this is a priest, all right? So let's put yourselves in his shoe. I mean, you are someone who is given to God. And you see an angel. And the angel tells you your prayer is going to be answered. I mean, would you question the angel and say, sorry, I think you have made a mistake. I'm too old for this, and my wife is too old for this. You know, you're carrying the wrong message. All right? Okay. It gives us, you know, quite an insightful picture of people and even people who are given to God. All right, and one side, yes, he believes in God, he's devoted, but he never expected God to invade his life in this manner. Okay, you know, you would expect, you know, perhaps, you know, he would have some, you know, he would have been convinced by the appearance of an angel, but that was not the case. And then even think about Mary, she's so much more younger, you know, she's in her teenagers, around 40. Okay, and she's not a priest, you know. And maybe she would be convinced by God, but even her, she was thinking about the difficulty, you know, that she's going to conceive a child, you know, without being married. And she asked God the same question, how can this be? And the last reference, you know, it speaks about, you know, even as Mary is given a special role, you know, and blessed to be the mother of the Lord and Savior, that calling will come with a price, you know, because she would see her child suffer and die in a very terrible way. So what, you know, we do see here is this, okay, God, I mean, as much as it's difficult and it's hard, but when God steps in, the door is left open for God to intrude one's life. I think sometimes what we tend to do is God steps in, then we usher him out and close the door. See, don't say this kind of things and do this kind of things. It's just too complicated, you know, to think about how all this will be sorted out in the way my life is. Okay? But yet, these people welcome God's intrusion. They open their hearts for him to step in and say something that is difficult for them to hear. You know, they even ask questions, you know, back to God and say how this will work out. And even Zechariah had to be, you know, silenced for a moment and say, just keep quiet and wait. You know, but they welcomed it. You know, what God is saying to us in such a time, okay, you know, about the coming of Christ again. How is he intruding our own lives, and have we left that door open in our hearts? He's a God who speaks to the heart, okay? I find that this is a kind of amazing description of Elizabeth. You know, after she found out that she was pregnant, she remained in seclusion for 5 months. And then this is said, the Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. And then Luke states this of Mary, you know, that when everyone was telling how great the child would be, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart, okay? And you find that when God was doing amazing things, you know, they didn't say, okay, thumbs up God and then forget about it, all right? But they sat and dwell on these things, because it moved them so greatly, simply because that was what their expectations of God, and they were amazed in how God would fulfill that expectation. You know, Elizabeth in that seclusion came to this conclusion, you know, that God has not forgotten her. All right, in that quietness, you know, she realized that God has kept his promise to her. And Mary, as much as she could not understand, you know, the impact of the coming of Jesus and what he would be like and what he would do, but everything that was said to him, she treasured in her heart and thought deeply about those things. How are we, you know, when God speaks to us? All right, I know many of you do receive word from God and revelation, and God points certain things to you. You know, is there a moment where you sit and dwell in those truths, you know, for a season, allowing it, you know, to move into your heart and allow that conversation to take place in such a deep and meaningful way? Or is it just snatched off, you know, or forgotten very quickly? You know, and it's so amazing, you know, how these people, you know, who was moved by God responded to his great work in their midst. And the next is the presence of the Holy Spirit. Okay, there's so many verses that speak about the Holy Spirit. The first, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. There was Simeon, okay? And he had the Holy Spirit on him, okay? So they were moved and engaged and filled, you know, and led to prophesy, you know, to sing psalms and songs and to declare, you know, the significance of this child, and everything they said was recorded and so inspired that it is the word of God to each one of us. Okay? Now, we live in the post-Pentecost era, and the Spirit of the Lord has been poured out on all people, you know, young, old, men and women, and we've been filled by the Holy Spirit. But is the Holy Spirit active and alive, engaging us, revealing things, you know, moving us to worship, moving us to recognize the Lordship of Jesus in this present season? Is the Holy Spirit, you know, leading us into to have a prophetic insight into what it means to be a Christian in this time, in this age? You know, what God is doing in our workplace around us, the Lordship of Jesus in those moments, you know. Is the Holy Spirit alive to us? You know. That is the question. And that's a challenge because, I mean, I do realize that many times, we, you know, we just can know all these things. You know, Christmas story, yeah, same message, Jesus came, hallelujah, and everything. You know, and then Jesus is coming again, then Jesus died, Jesus rose again, Jesus has called me, and God has a purpose of, you know, saving the whole world and have all this knowledge in our world. But yet, okay, I have to get up, I have to make coffee, go work, do this, take care of that, this and that. And just run through life, you know, without really experiencing the reality of God's salvation in our lives. Okay. The fact is, it's quite easy to switch off. I think all of us have mastered that art pretty well. You know, it's all right. You know, we know all these things, but life goes on. Okay. But yet, then it's sad, you know, at times we miss out that there is no thoughts to ponder deep within our hearts. There is no promises that have come true that we can celebrate. There's no, you know, expectation of the power and work of the Holy Spirit to speak and glorify Christ in our life. It becomes sad, you know, when we have handled God in such a way there's no intrusion. And then, you know, it says, hey, I'll go to church, I'll be a good Christian, I'll do all these things, but God is there. All right, and we have our own government system and so forth, and we just align, you know, to the way things are at our work. That's the danger. And you find what God calls us to do is to be mindful of His presence and to be aligned to Him. Okay? I mean, this is an incredible verse, you know, in the book of Isaiah that speaks about Jesus. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on His shoulders, and He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of His government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over His kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. You know, this is the significance of the coming of Jesus Christ, the governance that He has brought into this world. He's come, He died, He rose again, and He is exalted as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He has overthrown all powers, you know, and nothing can come against Him. And we live under His umbrella, under His rule. But is that the reality we have embraced? You know, are we open to His governance the way that, you know, the people in the Bible during the coming of Jesus were open to? Are we having that meetings and conversations with God? Okay. You know, what are our expectations of Jesus? That He has come, that He has risen, that now He is Lord. You know, what's happening in our own heart? Okay. All right. The first one, the calling, is God intruding your lives? Okay. Is that door left open? You know, are you standing on the promises of God? What is the meditation of your heart? Are you being filled with the Holy Spirit? Okay. And do you enjoy the peace and favor of God? And is your prayer, you know, that word, Aramaic word, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus, is seeking the presence of Lord Jesus in your life. You see, the reason why this is important, and I think many of us do have experienced this, you know, you can live in two planes of existence in this world, okay? One, as if Jesus didn't come and whatever He did didn't matter, you know. Okay, and you can run with things and you can, you know, do everything. But in those moments, what you realize is you don't have that joy, peace, and favor of God operating in your life the way it should. You know, and you are easily discouraged, fearful, depressed, you know, angry, tired, weary. These things dominate your life. You begin to pay more respect and homage to the powers of this world, like money and the political powers and also to the pleasures of this world rather than the reality of God. And all that puts you in a twist. Okay. All right. You know, sometimes we can move to such a place that we tend to forget that we are saved from the power of sin and evil. And what that looks like in our life. You know, we have moved to such a place. But when we move into that plane of existence of faith, you know, where we begin to be sensitive of the goodness of God and the work of God in our lives, it changes us totally. Okay, it changes the way we perceive things. And that's what, you know, I do want to challenge you. You know, this movement is something that you need to look to God in such a way that you allow God to develop in your spirit the ability to see the reality of God in your own life, to experience God's saving grace in your own life. You know, to understand how God can change your affections, your loves, can bring meaning into your life, and so forth. You know, when I'm in that kind of plane of existence, you know, where the reality of God is not there, you know, you think, you know, people cannot change. You have to do what you need to do. You have to secure what you need to secure. And that leads to a lot of different kind of feelings. It's like, you know, you have to live life with the card that you have been dealt, like, you know. So this is me, this is I, this is how I look, this is where I work, this is the money I have, therefore, nothing more than that, like, you know. But when God is real in your life, all this changes, you know. And your soul awakens to Him. And you really begin to worship and adore Him in such a way because you know that He is real and present in your life. Okay. And you know, as you look at them, it's kind of amazing to be invited to the coming of Jesus by angels, to be the very vessel in which, you know, the child would come. To hear God overturn things in such a way, because it's kind of amazing. I mean, if you look at the language of Luke, you know, the reference such as the Most High has come, has invaded your space. The sovereign God, you know, and that has been used 3 times. And if you look at the songs that were sung by, you know, I mean, and the prophetic word from Elizabeth to Mary to Zechariah to Simeon, you know, it grows in its understanding. Elizabeth began to see her very young cousin and see, man, she is the mother of my Lord. And God is using her in such an amazing way. And God has kept His promises, you know, through her and in her. And God has revealed that. You know, imagine if you can see people that way. And then the amazing thing happens to Mary, you know, when she, you know, realizes what God has done for her. She realizes that God has turned things upside down. That the most poor, the most, you know, rejected part of society, He has exalted. She began to see God's work of turning things over and exalting those who were rejected and dejected, you know, and not received by community. You know, when Zechariah speaks, you know, he begins to see the mighty light that shines in places of darkness and God's goodness being proclaimed. And then finally Simeon, you know, that all peoples, the Gentiles, will come to saving grace. It's only the Holy Spirit can bring us to such knowledge and understanding. It is something to know those things in your mind. It is something else to be empowered by your Holy Spirit to understand, you know, the power, the nature, the impact of this revelation. And church, that's how we need to move forward, you know. What God has called us to do is not a program, you know, it's not a vision charter. It is the life of the Spirit in our midst, you know. And time to time, we all must ask ourselves, you know, are we awake to these realities? You know, is Jesus Christ Lord over all things? Have we found such a place of prayer and worship in our lives? Amen. I'd like to invite you to stand as we look to God in prayer. Praise you. We thank you, dear Lord Jesus. We'll sing this carol, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. And let's open our hearts to God. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to minister to each one of us. Hallelujah. Dear Lord, we praise you. We thank you. Hallelujah. Dear Lord, speak to us, dear God. Dear Lord, if we have gone far and if we are tired and if we are so preoccupied with what's happening around us that we have lost a sense of joy, let us turn back to you, dear Lord. Let us remember the act of deliverance that you have done in Jesus Christ. Let us once again remember the joy of salvation. Let us come into a place of awe, you know, knowing that Jesus is Lord over all things and that we serve a mighty God. There's no limitations to what you can do, dear Lord, and your favor rests on your people, dear God. Hallelujah, we praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Come thou long expect thy glorious throne. Praise you, hallelujah. Come Holy Spirit, revive us. Oh Lord, we need to see. We need to hear you. Long for you. Oh Lord, send your rain, dear Lord. Our hearts are dry, dear God. Open our eyes that we may see, Lord, and understand, our ears to hear, and know, Lord, that you are God, that you are our salvation, Lord Jesus. Dear Lord, we pray, dear God, that this Christmas, that you return us to a place of devotion, dear Lord. That's what's lacking, dear Lord. Time to time, dear God, we have not sought that place. We have not tended that garden, dear Lord. We have left it, Lord. And we've not recognized your presence in our lives the way we should, dear God. Dear Lord, we pray that this Christmas, our devotion will be given to our Lord and Savior who came and gave himself for us. That it would not be us who lives, Lord. It's no longer us who lives, but Christ who lives within us, dear God. Dear Lord, we pray that we will embrace the life that comes from on high, through the power of the Holy Spirit within us, dear God. Stir this church, dear Lord. Let there be a worship moved by the Holy Spirit. Release, Lord, your Spirit in such a way that People will prophesy and have dreams, dear God. Release the Spirit in such a way that we will see you enthroned, Lord, even in our homes, our workplace, in any given situation. That we will see your hand at work, dear Lord. Dear Lord, return us, Lord, to a people who would stand firm on your promises, for they are true, dear Lord. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but never your word, dear God. And your promises to us is good, dear Lord, that you love us, that you will save us, that you will transform us, that you will give us that breakthrough that we need, dear God. Oh, Lord. And even as we dwell on these things, dear Lord, we pray that we would be the kind of people that will gladly welcome the intrusion, dear Lord. Because our lives are lost without it, dear God. We don't know what we are doing with all our time and resources, and we cannot truly comprehend the race that we are running here, Lord, without your intrusion, dear God. Everything seems to fall apart, dear Lord. But where you are, things make sense. Life is brought into those situations, hope and healing. Step into our lives, dear Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. We long for you. Long for more of you, dear Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise you. Just want to encourage you to take some moments to devote, give yourself to God. Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. So we bless you. Hallelujah. We thank you. We thank you, Jesus. Glorious Lord, we praise you. Continue to speak to our hearts, Lord. Bring us, Lord, to your side. We thank you. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray.